This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
And here's the thing with a lot of cases like this, and it's easy to go down the route of, was something being covered up here? Is there something else on this other side of this that this doesn't look right? So many times the optics of things like this, when they get really, really crazy, incompetency can look like conspiracy. It can look like cover up. But if is this one of those things where they put the gag order in place right away because it was like, oh shit, like we've already screwed this up from the moment it started. If we gag this, can we quiet this down? Can we maybe somehow make this get better, but obviously just made it worse? Is this the system and those within it trying to cover up for one's mistakes? And then, oh, well, then that makes this one worse. And now we're so dug in here, we got to keep going to this. Because we've seen that before where they'll just dig in till, you know, they cannot no longer dig in anymore. And either they win or they don't. Is that what's happening here?
I mean, with the gag, yeah. I think that there was such a public outcry, you know, and if you... Like they've got several, there's a Facebook page, you know, in support of freeing Aaron Spencer. There's, you know, funds that have been raised for his defense. You know, there's a huge public outcry that's very much in support of Aaron Spencer. I think that the state was obviously well aware of what was going on in their own community in terms of their constituents and in terms of the citizens in that county. They're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, so I think from their perspective, they wanted to silence it. They wanted to silence the noise and just let the process take place.
Yeah.
And, you know, let it see where it lands. But the fact of the matter is you don't get to silence citizens that is in direct violation of First Amendment rights. You know, can you gag the parties? Sure. Can you gag the attorneys? Yes. Can you gag the world at large? Absolutely not.
Is the system, I mean, are there just too many people in the system that don't quite grasp this concept yet? That it's not, you know, you're not just, I mean, you shut up the parties and things like that. Okay, great. You shut them up. You're no longer just like waiting for Dateline to take your story. You're no longer just waiting for like one of the few news magazines that used to exist to take you up. You now have a gazillion of us out there.
Yep.
Who can very easily put a big spotlight on a specific story. Are they just incompetent? Is there just a lot of people that don't quite grasp that this is how this works now, that you can't brush this stuff under the rug the way you used to?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it seems that way, you know, but they're going to learn in short order. You know, I mean, if they're ignorant to the fact that podcasters and YouTubers are out there and that we're doing the work. I mean, we're doing the investigative reporting that, you know, used to exist in our country through mainstream media, legacy media that really doesn't anymore. And we've picked up the mantle, you know, and we're not going away.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I can assure you, I'm going to be down in your neck of the woods, getting in people's ass about this case. And, you know, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be shouting with the bullhorn about this case because I feel that passionate about it, you know, and again, it all goes back to, do I think the system needs to run its course most of the time? Yeah.
Sure.
This ain't that.
This ain't one of them.
You've got this family that's gone through the tragedy and the trauma of having their daughter just absolutely abused by this guy, and the system failed them. You know, I mean, he didn't do anything about it initially, Aaron Spencer, where I think that there's a pretty strong argument that most fathers and mothers, for that matter, would want to take matters into their own hands, and you have to talk me off the ledge to let the process take place. Aaron Spencer tried that.
Yeah.
Now I'm talking about after the outcry.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, like whatever he was feeling, whatever way that he was feeling was justified, and whether or not that was like, I'm going to go take care of this shit myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whoever talked him off the ledge, whether it was his wife or a group of people, I don't know.
Yeah.
But what I do know is that he allowed for the process to happen. And what he saw is that Fossler gets arrested. Okay. But then Fossler is out on a $5,000 bond with 43 pending charges, and then proceeds to violate the no contact order, starts communicating with his daughter again, and lures her out of the home and has got her out of the house at 12:30 at night. I mean,
It's pretty clear cut. Like this is insane. I mean, does the prosecution actually think this is a winnable case, or is this just about like just flexing control than it is actually about justice?
I don't know, man. I'd love to have that prosecutor on alive and ask that question, because I think the answer is going to live in the neighborhood of what Stacey was talking about, that there's a process here that, in our estimation, somebody's life was lost. It was at the hands of another, and it's up to a jury of his peers to decide whether or not he was justified in his actions. And I'm going to go through the process. And, it's just, that's not taking into consideration the fact of the amount of trauma that this family has had to endure leading up to this entire scenario. I mean, everything that they had to go through up until and after is just unthinkable. That family is sitting there, and I want to be clear, Aaron Spencer's out on bond.
Yeah.
And this is hanging over their heads every second of every day of their life. Their life is in limbo right now, not knowing what's going to happen to Aaron Spencer.
I'm going to ask this. I don't know the answer to this question. I'm just asking the question. I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but is the system here, is this county or something there, is the DA, I mean, by going after him and hoping to get a conviction, you wouldn't charge somebody unless you want to get the conviction. You don't just do it for fun. Is there any way, shape or form here that if they had him locked up, that would prevent, I don't know, them going after the city for some reason, or the department or something. I'm thinking like Stephen Avery-ish, where like in Manitowoc, Wisconsin, where they charged him, he ends up suing the city for $1 million, wins it, and then they end up charging him with another crime.
What an interesting thought, Tony.
Is it kind of that? I mean, in a different way, where we fucked this up over here pretty good. Oh, well, you did this, so we're going to get you, because if you look over here and figure out how much we screwed this up, you could go after us for this. But if we charge you for this, that's not going to work out that way, because we're going to get you over here. I don't know. I mean, I'm just throwing it out there, not accusing anybody. I'm just saying it's one of those roads of like, I'd be interested to look down that is what's motivating everybody here. Because that's the biggest thing, is it's easy to say, well, this is crazy, that DA's nuts. What's the motivating factor?
Yeah.
What is that motivating factor? Is it just following the rules, or is there something else at play?
I mean, look, at this point in time with the state of our society, I don't disregard any concept.
Yeah.
And you and I talk about this all the time, man. Yeah. I am not a huge conspiracy guy. Conspiracies are really difficult to keep secret, which is,
yeah, I mean, that's what makes it hard. Yeah.
Right. I mean, if there's a lot of people involved, the odds of all those people keeping their mouths shut is slim. Right. And, but this thing with this guy's law enforcement background, and, people have been reaching out to me because we've been covering it pretty heavily.
Yeah.
And there's allegations out there that this is Fossler's MO. Like, and I'm talking about the victim here, that this child was not the first person that he had.
You don't just wake up one day and decide you're going to do this.
It's 67, right?
Exactly. Well, yes. There's a pattern here. I can tell you that. Yes. I don't know that, but you don't just wake up and go, huh, I'm retired. What should I do with my day? Well, here's what I'm going to do. No, there had to have been some escalation here. I'm sure we're going to find out more.
It's a pattern, certainly, with him. This is not happening in a vacuum. Right. So we know that, and have that many charges against you. Yeah, you've been doing this for a while. You've had other victims.
Yeah.
So who else is going to come forward? And the other part about this, and it's the reality, these folks don't tend to operate just by themselves. They end up, they're not, it's like lone wolves. They have their little circle, their little ring. And that's where I'm wondering here. It's like, well, is there somebody else, other people in the system, that if we start digging too far over here, we're going to start seeing some other things poking out of the dirt. And we're going to go, oh, I didn't know you were part of this too. And that's why, let's get him put over here. Let's get him shut up as quickly as we can, because this person did this, and clearly we're going to, that's out in the open, but what else is this going to knock up when we completely dig him out of his hole?
Yeah, and it's not too dissimilar from some of the rumblings we're hearing in the Mickey Steins case. Same kind of thing. And, obviously a lot of us are thinking some nefarious shit was going on, and that in that county and who was involved is a question that yet is yet to be determined. But hopefully that comes out as we progress through that case. You have to wonder if there's something similar like that going on here. You know, the interesting part of this case is that, you know, when you think about Aaron Spencer's trial in and of itself, in terms of his mindset, okay, and when you're talking about defense of another, the mindset of the person that is the one who pulled the trigger or you know, ended the other person's life, or, you know, whether at a battery, whatever the case may be, whatever happens, you have to look at their mindset in terms of what they knew at the time. So say, for instance, if 10 people come forward and say, yeah, well, Michael Fossler, when I was a kid 30 years ago, you know, he did the same thing to me. This guy's a predator of the, you know, of the apex variety, and he's a monster. And none of that's going to factor in. None of that will come in at trial because it's not relevant to Aaron Spencer's mindset at the moment in time. Sure. I mean, they're going to be limited to, but there's more than enough in terms of what Aaron Spencer knew going in. He knew that his daughter was a victim. He knew that that Michael Fossler had been charged with 43 different counts. He knew that Aaron Spencer, Michael Fossler had somehow sunk his claws back into his daughter. And he knew that Fossler had gotten her out of the house. And he knew that these charges were pending. And who's the only witness to what happened with regard to those 43 counts? His daughter.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, if you're thinking logically, and if you're thinking about somebody who apparently doesn't care about the fact that there's a stay away order, that that's just a piece of paper that's not stopping me from doing anything, because either he's so compelled to get his claws back into her in order to SA her again and or SA her and then kill her and or abscond with her. And just, you know what I mean? Whatever the case may be, that guy was unhinged. And so, you know, that's what Aaron Spencer would have known at the time that this went down. You know,
was Fossler an officer in the same jurisdiction here where this took place?
No, I think he was a cop in Indiana.
Okay, so it was
years prior.
I would be curious to see what else could come up in his background. Were there any disciplinary actions? What do his colleagues have to say? What do the women around him have to say? I think there's a story here that hasn't been tapped into yet.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned. Exactly. I'm taking a trip to Indiana. I'm doing some digging.
I would bet there's a lot of cases around him that disappeared.
Raise some eyebrows.
I mean, what we should also be talking here about why he was even out on bond. I mean, why did a judge allow this to happen? We see it obviously so frequently. We had the Haro case where the DA was like, no, this guy should not be out on bond, but obviously, or on bond or bail, I forgot on that one. But you have another one here, 40 some set charges. The kid's still in the county. I mean, this guy, he has a pattern of behavior. Why are we letting these people out?
Dude, look, I mean, there are constitutional provisions and rights that we have in terms of a reasonable bond being set, but there are safeguards in place. And one of those being that this, like, flight risk wasn't really the thing with him. It's, is he a threat to public safety? And when you're charged with these types of crimes, there's a strong argument to be made that he should have been issued no bond, because he is very much that in terms of what he is accused of doing. Yes, he's presumed innocent, but, you know, there was enough there in terms of the outcry and the factual scenario that was laid forth by the child in terms of what had happened with this guy, that there was enough to charge him with 43 counts. So, you know, it had passed that type of muster. And, you know, you see it all the time in murder cases, right? You see, well, look, you know, this defendant is presumed innocent, but, you know, these are very serious charges. And I'm not willing to put that person back out into society because of that potential threat to public health and safety. And I'm going to keep him in on a no bond. So not only did she not make it like a high bond, I mean, she made it $5,000. Which, you know, I mean, he's getting out on that. Like, yeah. she knew he had, like, that he was going to get out on it. It's inexplicable to me, you know, and then to have her be the presiding judge on Aaron Spencer's case is so disturbing in so many different ways, because she's got to answer for that at some point. You know what I mean? It's
who's
like
going to make her answer for that, though. Who has the authority to do that?
No one.
Exactly. Like she's just accountable to herself.
Right.
But apparently that's not going to be the case. So I mean, is it society? Is it the community that steps up and says, hey, get your shit together. This is not okay.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.